Good morning. I want to welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this morning. We thank you for coming, and we're happy to have you here. We pray that you come with a gladsome heart, that you might participate in this ordinance that the Lord has provided for us, that we might be forgiven of our sins, and we might renew that covenant we have made with him in the waters of baptism. Excuse me. For scripture today, chosen to read out of Alma 10. It goes along with this first song that we're going to sing today, Come Thou Fount of Ever Blessing. And Alma said, Now, my brethren, I wish from the innermost part of my heart, yea, with great anxiety, even unto pain, that you would hearken unto my words, and not cast off your sins, and not procrastinate the day of your repentance. But that you would be humble yourselves, yet you would humble yourselves before the Lord, call on his holy name, watch and pray continually, that you may not be tempted above that which you can bear, and thus be led by the Holy Spirit, becoming humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love, and all long suffering, having the faith on the Lord, having a hope that you shall receive eternal life, having the love of God always in your hearts, that you may be lifted up at the last day and enter into his rest. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. We'll continue the service now with the singing of hymn number 25.
Our Heavenly Father, truly Thou art the fount of every blessing. You are the source of every blessing that we have ever experienced and every blessing we have yet to experience. We recognize that, Father, and praise Thy holy name. We have come this day, Father, in remembrance of Thy Son, in remembrance of the spilt blood and broken body, the sacrifice that He made for us. And we pray, Father, that as we would partake of the emblems this day, as we are in preparation to be worthy of that, that You would bless us, Father, and forgive us of the sins and shortcomings in our lives, and set these things aside, Father, that truly we might be worthy participants in this ordinance this day. Father, we no longer wish to be strangers from You. We desire to be brought closer to Thy folds. We pray for that blessing upon us, even now, Father, and ask that as You have blessed our speaker this day in preparation, that You would continue to bless him, Father, as he would deliver that message from on high. We give Thee praise, Father, and ask this all in the name of Thy Son, even Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Today's Oblation Day, one time of the month where the offerings given that are not marked for tithing are put in the oblation. I have a single verse here to read. It's Luke chapter 20, verse 17. And he beheld them and said, "What is this then which is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner." That may seem like a funny reading, but I don't think it is. I think it's very, very purposeful. I like to look through the parables. They're probably my favorite parts of the scriptures. And as I read them, a lot of times I feel like I understand what the meaning of the parable is. But as it occurs to me later, I don't quite understand the original parable, what was meant. In this parable, Jesus is talking about how he's been rejected and how he'll become the corner of the church. And he is the strength of the church, because he is the church. But the parable itself, the builders and the stones, why would a stone rejected by the builders become the corner? We had junior church last Sunday, my wife and I. And we explained this, and I thought this would be good for today's oblation also. When you build a house, especially out of stone, it takes work to make that stone. All stone is precious. Any stone that is not chosen to be used on the wall for someone to look at, possibly it has an imperfection in it, possibly it has a chip on the corner, perhaps it's just too big to lift. All stones had to be used. In this modern time of ours, many of our own tasks are made easy with machines, computers, programs, what have you. In the United States here, it's easy to waste resources. Trim off of an old house you're redoing is easy to throw away and buy new trim. It's not that expensive. It's easy to throw away furniture instead of repair it. So we find ourselves in a time much different in some ways than when this parable was given. It's easy to waste time. It's easy to waste material. I would ask that you take account of both and make a point not to be wasteful. Shall we pray? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We thank you for this day. We ask, Lord, that the monies and the time and the intentions that are given and put forth here may be used wisely, and that we may be better stewards over that which you have given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The Lord's been all too kind to us. He's laid out His plan, His pattern, His purpose, provided a way for us to come back to Him again. And this plan has been laid out from the beginning of time on this earth. We come here in this battle to fight sin that so easily besets us in our daily walk. And we look to our first parents, Adam and Eve in a garden, and what their choice they made to partake of the unforbidden fruit, and that sin became present in this earth, and they were cast out. And it was in that sinfulness that they were revealed. And it was they felt they had to cover themselves. And as you know, they covered themselves with leaves or other plants, and eventually, after they were out of the garden, they found that they still needed to cover themselves. And what did they use? They used leather. They used skin. You see, that meant that there must have been a sacrifice for the covering of their sin. Is why they had to cover themselves, because of that sin had entered in and their agency was used. And I read for you now from the last book and the last chapter of Moroni. Speaking to you, saints, what the Lord says to one, He says to all. And awake and arise from the dust, O Jerusalem, yea, and put on thy beautiful garments, O daughter of Zion. Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in Him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if ye shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness, and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is His grace sufficient for you, that by His grace ye may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God ye are perfect in Christ, ye can in no wise deny the power of God. And again, if ye by the grace of God are perfect in Christ, and deny not His power, then are ye sanctified in Christ by the grace of God through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is in the covenant of the Father, unto the remission of your sins, that ye become holy without spot. If you noticed in there, he talked about power. We in our agency like to control things because it gives us power of what's around us. It gives us the power to choose and what we want to influence us and to be around us. But so many times that agency, I feel, in my life can be pulled away from the rod of iron, the Word of God. And the world's always pulling at us, saints. And we come this morning to remember that pathway the Lord trod, and that rod of iron, the Word of God, and His Son, Jesus Christ. And I read to you the power that God gives you from the 45th section of Doctrine and Covenants, the second verse. Hearken, O ye people of my church, and ye elders, listen together and hear my voice while it is calling today, and harden not your hearts. He's speaking to you, he's speaking to the priesthood, he's speaking to all the church. And the Lord says, I came into mine own, and my own received me not. But unto as many as receive me gave I power to do many miracles, and to become the sons of God. And even unto them that believe on my name gave I power to obtain eternal life. And even so I have sent mine everlasting covenant unto the world, to be a light unto the world, and to be a standard for my people and for the Gentiles, to seek to it, and to be a messenger before my face to prepare the way before me. The Lord has given us a way. For he says, I gave you power to obtain eternal life. But there's a sacrifice that is made in that. And we know that the Lord has prepared the way and he's shown us what it takes. But so many times, as we look forward to this table, we come to remember that promise that is made to us. We come to remember the promise that we made to our Father in heaven to say, I promise to keep the commandments. And today, when you partake and you reach forth, you're witnessing that promise to those here in the house of the Lord and to our Father in heaven alike. And we know that this struggle of the natural man is ever present in our life. And so it is that we continue to listen and hear how the Lord has called us to be engaged in this battle of sin that we fight. And we hear in the third Nephi, the 12th chapter, starting at 25, where the Lord is telling us about his gospel. And he's telling us about the way and why he came and his purposes. For he says, behold, I have given unto you my gospel, and this is my gospel, which I have given unto you, that I came into the world to do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me. And my Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross. And after I have been lifted up upon the cross, I might draw all men unto me. That as I have been lifted up by men, even so should men be lifted up by the Father, and stand before me to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And the Lord has given us this pattern, and he's given us an example, saints, of how to live our life, of that preparation that we are to make in coming to him, and that through him we are made pure and clean in this gift of repentance. And in a world that so many times has this political correctness that nothing can be wrong, everyone is right, but the Lord says he has a standard. And he set that standard up on the cross that you and I might be drawn to it and have a better understanding of this life that we are called to live in this battle against sin. The Lord said also in the 13th chapter of 3 Nephi how we are to be. That's you and I. He says, therefore, what manner of men ought ye to be? Verily I say unto you, even as I am, and now I go into the Father. Many times, and maybe some of you and your family have recognized this, that when someone of prominence in the family is passing away, maybe it's the patriarch of a family, the loved ones and the family gather around. For what? To hear their final words, blessings, the knowledge that you gain in the process of the humility of life. And here we have captured in the 13th chapter. After Christ had ascended and had been with his people in the land where he was crucified, and he came here to the lost tribe. And some of the last words that he shared, we find here. What manner of men ought ye to be? Verily I say unto you, even as I am. And so we are called to be like Christ. We are called to cleanse ourselves. And that our will is to do the will of the Father and not the will of the flesh. And that if we do these things, that there is a promise. That if we lay down our life and we sacrifice not for our gain, but for the gain of the kingdom. So many times, this struggle of life, We strive to cleanse ourselves, that we might be made clean and pure, that we might seek that promise of eternal life. But it might be that we challenge ourselves to see that our life has more meaning than just with us, that it impacts the lives of other people, that it impacts the lives of so many people around about us, that we have opportunity to share our life. And so the salvation that we seek isn't only for ourselves, but it's for the kingdom, that we come together as one body in Christ. And we learn to serve. And we learn to serve one another as we serve our God. We see in John the third chapter where the Lord has given us this pattern that he speaks of. And he talks about life, putting our life down and allowing others to be placed before us. Starting at the 14th verse, it says, "We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whereby perceive we the love of Christ, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue only, but in deed and in truth. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth this commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him. And whereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." He has promised us the Spirit that carries us through the trials of this life, that we would understand that his love abounds beyond the torment that we find in this world. And we find that the Lord Jesus was asked many things by his disciples. But I find it quite interesting what's captured in the scripture in Matthew, the 6th chapter, where we see out of all the things that might be captured of the disciples might ask the Savior, is captured, "Lord, how do we pray?" And there in the 6th chapter of Matthew, we're given the Lord's Prayer and a pattern in which we are to follow and how we approach the Lord. But I want to draw your attention to the scripture directly following the Lord's Prayer. Right after he gives them this, he says, verse 16, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, who trespass against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." And here's the word, "But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses." That scripture carries a lot of weight, a lot of promise, and direction on how we are to seek out our Father's forgiveness, and we are to make preparation for the days that we live in. For this struggle that you have of sin is the same struggle that I have. And as soon as we put the guard down and we stop striving to do as Christ did and live a life like Christ lived, we allow opportunity for the adversary to come in and entice us. We are told in Scripture that you and I will be enticed, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And then our agency comes. What shall we choose? What shall entice you? Those things of spiritual, eternal value? Or those things of temporal worth that so often come into our life? We see a lot of torment in the world and conflict, and those that would even find leadership in this land of providence that the Lord set his hand upon. And we can find that in about 36 years ago, a man was called to lead this country. In doing so, in inauguration of the presidency, he placed his hand upon the Bible. And oftentimes they're given a scripture to pull from that and to place their hand on that scripture. And on January 20th, 1980, this verse was read. And it's so ever true even now. And maybe even more so as it was then. From 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. In 1964, that same gentleman offered a speech about the freedom of this country and the importance of it. If you would so allow me, I took the liberty to change these words. For here he's speaking to a country, but our Heavenly Father is speaking to all the world. Freedom comes by great sacrifice by everyone. For we know that the greatest sacrifice was of our Savior Jesus Christ. And the fullness of this latter-day gospel is a hope of man, the hope of Jesus Christ. And it is, saints, you and I, and we're engaged in this gospel for the betterment of your people, that we do so, that the youth are looking at you, and they're looking at me, and they're depending on us to purge the sin from our life first, that we might be prepared to serve. And in efforts to prepare the way for Christ, we shall not fail. For if we do fail the celestial law and the Zionic conditions we are called to live under, I pray that our children and that our children's children might say of us, Zion wasn't established not because we didn't try. Let them say of us that at least we did all that we could, that all that could be done in the moment allotted to us here in our probationary state. And so it is we live out this probationary state of trying to find a better understanding of God's work in our life and how it is that He wishes to bring the kingdom here to this earth. And we oftentimes try to take this on ourselves, but we find that it is the Lord that prepares the way. We read from the 19th chapter of Matthew, the 26th verse, but Jesus beheld their thoughts and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but if they will forsake all things for my sake, with God whatsoever things I speak are possible. The Lord's provided a way. He's given us love, the love of His Son, Jesus Christ, that we might truly come to Him and that we might have a better understanding of how we are to love one another by laying down our lives and preparing ourselves to be used as a vessel. But we must cleanse ourselves from this sin as we're here today to remember. And I leave you with a portion of Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and ever forevermore. I pray that in these final moments of preparation, we might individually and collectively reflect upon our lives, those things in our life that we can set aside, that sin that so easily besets us and draws us away from our Heavenly Father. And I find it a privilege, saints, to be yoked up with you in this cause, in this battle for righteousness, to cleanse sin from our life, that He might bless us in this endeavor. that this effort might be used for his kingdom and might be used for the betterment of his saints.
Before we begin the hymn of preparation, we've had one of our members that's taken ill, and I would like to say a prayer for them and before we partake. Our great and merciful Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. Father, we are eternally grateful for thy blessings and thy goodness. And we pray now that as our brother that has taken ill is being treated, I pray that you would bless him with a great blessing, that he would be able to stand upright and return to the service, to partake his, take his place in this service, that he might partake of these emblems also, that he might be forgiven of his sins and being able to continue in this life. Father, we thank thee for thy blessings, and we ask your blessing upon us now as we return to this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to call your attention. We have rejoiced in the presence of all who worship with us in this special service. We are a closed communion branch of the Church of Jesus Christ, and we ask that you refrain partaking of the emblems unless you have joined the restoration and been accepted as so. We do welcome you here if you're a visitor, and we welcome you back, but we also have that stipulation. Would you bow us now, facing the emblem as much as possible, that while Brother Dan Brown reads the blessing of the bread.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those that who partake of it, that they may eat it in remembrance of the body of thy Son, and witness unto thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son, and always remember him and keep his commandments which he has given them, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Once again, as much as possible, we kneel facing the emblems as the prayer is read by Elder Tony Brand over the blessing of the wine.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of Thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they do always remember Him, that they may have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
I've been impressed, brothers and sisters, this morning to share with you that the Lord loves you. And that we do not comprehend the depths of His mercy. I know I've shared this recently, but I did want to, felt impressed, I should tell you again, about a man that I just, I read his book here recently, Tassar Saeda, I think I'm saying that right, he goes by Tass for short, who grew up in Palestine, and they were being, the Israelis were coming into Palestine and taking land, and so he ran away one night, and he joined the PLO against the wishes of his father. But he felt like he had to have something that he had to do. And he was trained as a sniper. And they had skirmishes and wars, and he did his job as a sniper. And after returning home, they were forced to leave their land, no compensation. He and his family moved to Kuwait. And so he had this hatred of the Jews, of the Israel. And through the process of time, he came to the United States and married a citizen, was able to get his green card so he could stay here. And he had an experience where he saw the Savior. And the Savior extended out his hand to him. But what I wanted to share with you this morning was, after his conversion, he began to read the Bible. And he read in Genesis how the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into him life. And he became a living soul. And Tass wept because he knew he had taken several lives, destroyed that living soul that the Lord God had created. And yet the Lord forgave him. And I share this with you because we have countless examples through the scriptures of those who have sinned against our Lord, have done things that are criminal, outlandish. We wouldn't even want to talk about it. Some that I was reading about here this morning were the four sons of Mosiah. And after their ministry to the Lamanites, you know, the Lamanites, many of them were converted because of the sons of Mosiah. And they were talking about how the Lord had blessed them. This is what Ammon has to say concerning himself and his brothers. Behold, we went forth even in wrath with mighty threatenings to destroy his church. Oh, then, why did he not consign us to an awful destruction? Yea, why did he not let the sword of justice fall upon us and doom us to eternal despair? We do not understand, brothers and sisters. Perhaps some of us do, but I think that most of us do not. The depths of our Heavenly Father's mercy. And what I would say to you this morning is that He forgives you. Wholly, completely. Your sins have been washed away. Saints, He loves us. We are His children. He wants us to come back into His presence. And even if we're the sons of Mosiah, He will forgive us.
God, the Eternal Father, Lord, we lift our voice in rejoicing to Thy holy name, and we're so thankful this day that the gospel of Thine only begotten Son was preached and heard by Your people. And for this privilege, Lord, that they have to be able to reach forth and partake of these emblems, we do this indeed in remembrance of Thee. And our Father, as we depart this place and we go to our homes, we would pray and invite that Thy Spirit would continue to be with us. Help us in our daily walk. Help us to forsake those things that separate us from Thee, that indeed we might be Your chosen people, that we might be delightsome. And we know that we can be this, Father, if You would wash away our sins and the filthiness from our life, that we might be made clean. Thank You, Lord, for blessing us this day and for hearing this prayer. And we ask all these things in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.